You have your Bibles, I'd invite you to take them and go with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 5, please. The 5th chapter of Mark's Gospel is where we'll find our text this morning. We've been walking through this book together since the beginning of the year here on Sunday mornings, and so many of you would have been here last Sunday and would have been here for the first message that comes from the 5th chapter of Mark's Gospel. And Jesus is dealing with a man that had been possessed with a devil. And we learned last week that Jesus Christ has power over the devil. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? We're going to learn today that Jesus Christ not only has power over the devil, but he also has power over disease. We see today a display of Christ's power over disease. If you found your place there in Matthew chapter 5, I'd invite you to stand as we read the scriptures together. If you're physically able to, you can. And we'll begin reading in verse number 21 of Mark chapter number 5. The Bible says there, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what we've already enjoyed and experienced, the singing of the young men that are here from West Coast Baptist College and the congregational singing, and Lord, those that were part of the 10 o'clock hours, we had opportunity to consider and be taught the scriptures. We thank you for that. And for our children and others that are in different parts of the building that are being ministered to, we thank you for all of these things. And Lord, as we enter now into these next few moments, we have opened your word, we have read your word, and now we're asking that you would teach us from thy word. Lord, help us to get something from the Bible today that would be immensely helpful in all of our personal lives. Lord, I pray specifically for someone today whose life has been touched by disease. Maybe a family member, a friend, someone that they're burdened about. Oh, Lord, we take great hope and comfort in knowing that you have power over disease. I pray for someone here today that has been wrecked and destroyed and ruined by the disease that we know is sin. I pray that they would find healing and that they'd find hope in Jesus Christ, who has also delivered us from the power of sin as a disease. We pray, Lord, that you would work in this service. And if there's someone here today that does not know Christ as their Savior, I pray that you would touch them and make them whole. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we said as we were getting started last week, we find Jesus in the first 20 verses of this 5th chapter of Mark encountering a man who is possessed with as many as 6,000 devils. The word legion in the Roman Empire and Roman era meant 6,000. Someone that was a head of a legion of soldiers would have 6,000 under their control. And this demon that is asked who he is, he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. It's very possible that this man was possessed by 6,000 devils. And that was no problem whatsoever for Jesus Christ. Those devils were cast out of that man, and that man's life was changed completely. The last glimpse that we get of him is of going into his community, into his region, the 10 cities in that area known as Decapolis, and telling them what great things Jesus Christ had done for him. He was freed or delivered from the power of the devil. And can I tell you that the most effective representatives of Christ are those who he has changed personally and powerfully. As I look across this room today, I see many of you whose lives are different now than they were before you met the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he doing? He is changing you. He is making you a new creature, as he's promised to do in the scriptures. And that's exactly what he did for this man in the first 20 verses. We come now to an encounter Jesus has with a diseased woman. We will discover that just as he has power over the devil, he also has complete and total power over disease. You know, in recent days, we heard a little bit about this as we were considering some prayer needs. In recent days, our church family has been personally touched by the power of disease. In fact, in this very room this morning are folks who are dealing with that in their own life or in the life of their family. And they know the difficulty that disease can bring. Right now, within our church, we have 4 children who are suffering from the disease that we know as leukemia or cancer. We're talking about children. We have adults who are also dealing with cancer. Some who have just discovered recently that this is what they are dealing with. Others who are right now, as we sit here in this auditorium, healthy and whole, there are some in our congregation this morning that are in the hospital waiting results of tests that were done here just this last week to determine if maybe they might have this same dreaded disease that we know as cancer. You may be here today physically healthy and free of disease. But I want you to know something. All of us suffer from the effects of the disease or sickness that we know is sin. You know, Webster's Dictionary defines disease as the cause of pain or uneasiness, distemper, malady, sickness, disorder. Any state of a living body in which the natural functions of the organs are interrupted or disturbed. Listen to the last aspect of this. He says, the first effect of disease is uneasiness or pain. And ultimately, the effect is death. Can I say that due to the curse of sin, all of us must die at some point? Romans 6:23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. We certainly understand as Bible believers that's talking about much more than just a physical death, but we believe that that's also referencing a spiritual death. As evidenced in Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8, we could also call it, as the Bible does, a second death. But can I tell you that most of us will die due to some disease? Oftentimes you'll hear this person, they died of natural causes. That just means that some type of disease entered into their life and it stole them of something. It robbed them of their physical strength and they began to deteriorate. And at a certain point in time, that disease took them out of this world. The pain and effects of Adam's sin cast a long shadow on humanity. But listen to me, God did not leave us to suffer in eternity under Adam's curse. He sent a second Adam, his name was Jesus, to die on an old rugged cross to pay our sin debt for us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You may be suffering the consequences and the effects of the disease known as sin, but listen to me, because of Jesus Christ who has power over disease, you can be made whole today. I pray that you will be. We find in this passage of Scripture that Jesus, as he did often during his earthly ministry, encounters someone who is dealing with disease. And we find that Jesus healed many. It's impossible for us to know exactly how many people Jesus healed. We have specific instances and examples like we find here in Mark chapter number 5. But the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 3 and verse number 10, in just one instance, that he had healed many. So we really have no idea exactly how many people Jesus touched, how many people he spoke life into them who were dealing with disease. But I do know this. I do know there was never a man, never a woman, never a child or boy or girl who encountered Jesus during his earthly ministry with a disease that Jesus couldn't heal them. And I want you to know something, that there's still no one that Jesus can help today. There's someone that may need something today specifically. Jesus can help you. It is not surprising that multitudes followed him, because everyone, listen, everyone, all of us know someone who is suffering from disease who needs to be healed. As we said a moment ago, Jesus never encountered a disease, whether it was blindness, someone who was deaf, someone who was lame, someone who was paralyzed that he couldn't defeat through the power that he has over disease. Today we examine a woman who suffered from a disease and how Jesus Christ gave her hope and gave her healing. I want us to notice just three simple thoughts from this passage of Scripture. Number one, I want us to consider that desperate people form a pathway that leads to Christ. Desperation causes people to form a pathway that leads to Christ. We find two people in this passage of Scripture we read just a moment ago who were absolutely desperate for Jesus' healing touch. The first person that we find is a man by the name of Jairus. And we're introduced to him in the early part of this, and we'll look at the end of his story the next time that we're together on a Sunday morning. But we find that Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, publicly besought Jesus Christ for some help. In verses 21 through 24, we find this man by the name of Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, publicly seeking after Christ. Jesus had left the coasts of the Gadarenes, and he had traveled back to where his earthly ministry was based out of. He is now in a place that we know as Capernaum. And upon arriving on the shore, he again is greeted by an overwhelming crowd or group of people that have come. All of them have needs, but there's one who stands out above the rest. His name is Jairus. He's interesting for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's interesting because he is a ruler of the synagogue. In other words, he is a religious leader. He is a political leader. He is a well-respected man in the community. And we find throughout Scripture that these type of people don't come to Christ publicly. They would often come to him privately. In fact, we learn of that in John chapter number 3. We're introduced to a man by the name of Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. And the Bible says that Nicodemus, in John chapter 3 and verse number 2, the Bible says the same came to Jesus by night. Now, they would often come under cover of darkness. They didn't want anyone to know that they had gone and they have sought out Jesus, because they, on the surface, on the outside, they weren't allowed to believe in him. They were not allowed to view him as a leader. To them, he was a blasphemer. To them, he was an imposter. He was someone who was claiming to be something that he was not. And so they would often come to him because they were intrigued by his ministry. They would come to him at night. But we find this man by the name of Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, and he comes to Jesus publicly. We have to ask ourselves the question, why? And the answer is pretty simple, because he was desperate. I pray you never get so desperate that you have to do something crazy or something out of control in order to get to where you need to go. I pray that even today, while things maybe are okay in your life, and while there's nothing that is a great storm that is ravaging you and destroying your family, I pray that today, while things maybe are still peaceful, while you're not in a mode of desperation, you will hear the message and you will respond to what God has for you. But I want you to know something. If you get to a point of desperation, you can still find Jesus. Desperate people form a pathway that leads to Jesus Christ. This man, why was he desperate? Because he had a little daughter. We'll find at the end of Mark chapter number 5 that she is identified in verse number 42 as being 12 years old. She has been destroyed by some disease. The Bible doesn't tell us what it was. But as Jairus makes his way to Jesus, he knows from what the doctors have told him, and he knows from what he has seen and experienced maybe throughout his life. He knows that he just has moments, and he might have waited for nightfall like Nicodemus did, but he doesn't know that he is guaranteed that his daughter will make it to nightfall, and so he comes publicly. And when he gets to Jesus, he falls down at his feet and he worships him and he pleads and he begs, "Jesus, come with me." And I want you to know something. Listen, this is a direct illustration of Jeremiah 33:3, where the Bible says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee." And I want you to find that as Jairus comes to Jesus, then he says, "Please, please, my little daughter lieth at the point of death," verse 24, "I pray thee, come and lay hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live." I love verse 24. It says, "And Jesus went with him." I want you to know something. If you're dealing with something today, you can fall down on your knees before God and you can cry out to Him in brokenness and desperation. You can be assured that Jesus will come and be with you. He has promised to do so. Remember, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We find Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, publicly besought him. Jesus loves helping people. He longs to be there with them. Jesus, seeing and knowing the need of this man and his family, did not hesitate to follow him to his home. But notice there's a second individual who's desperate, and that desperation leads them to form a pathway to Christ, and that is this woman. We find her in verses 25 to 27. Here's a woman diseased for 12 years, and she privately besought him. We have one man who's publicly doing it in front of everyone. We have a woman in this passage of Scripture who's indicated to us that she came in the press behind. She didn't want anyone to know she was there and why she was there and what she was dealing with, but she came anyways, whether publicly or privately. Folks can come to Jesus Christ. As Jesus was following Jairus to his home, with time being critical and of a great essence, this great crowd had mobbed him and impeded his progress, slowing him down, keeping him from getting where he needed to go. I can imagine Jairus is probably trying to clear people out of the way. He's probably shouting on up ahead, "Please clear the way. Jesus is going to my daughter, and she might die if he doesn't get there quickly. Please, everyone, get out of the way." And while that's happening, the Bible identifies a woman in this crowd who has a disease. This disease is known as an issue of blood. It's a problem specifically related to her being a woman. And due to this disease, she was considered in her culture and the country in she lived to be unclean. Listen to what the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 15 and verse number 25. It says, "And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, she shall be unclean." Truthfully, she came privately because she was not allowed to be a part of the crowd. She was as unclean as a leper would be. She should have had to shout out, "I'm unclean. I should not be in public. I should not be around people. No one should be near me, have to be near me so that they might touch me or brush up against me because of this issue of blood." Biblically, according to the law, she was unclean. And yet she took her chances. Why? Because she was desperate. She was desperate. She had dealt with this disease for 12 years. Isn't it interesting? Around the same time, this little girl was born to Jairus and his family. This same woman contracted this issue of blood that had diseased her. It had caused her to be weary. It had caused her to be tired and fatigued. It had caused her to be unclean. The Bible says that she had spent everything, and she was no better than she was at the very beginning. In fact, she only grew worse. Despite all the medicine that she had taken and all of the doctors that she had seen, despite all the money that she had spent, she was dealing with this disease. Because of the nature of her disease and the fact that the law declared her to be unclean, she came privately. Perhaps maybe there are some that can identify with her, maybe even in this room. As you sit in this church today, you think, if people only knew who you were, if people only knew what you have done in your past and in your life, perhaps they would be horrified. Perhaps they would view you and almost would look at you as being unclean. And so you come into church and you come here and you sit here and you dress yourself up and you look nice and you cover everything up. Maybe you carry a Bible and everything looks okay, but you know deep down inside, you know where you have been. You know what you have done. I want you to know something. Jesus can still help you. Just as this woman came privately, just as no one knew what she was dealing with, her desperation led her to Jesus. And I'm praying that you'll find him today too. So we see this passage of Scripture identifies that desperate people form a pathway that leads to Christ. But notice, secondly, we learn that diseased people are freed through the power of Christ's touch. I want you to notice in verses 27 through 29, we find two separate thoughts. First of all, we find her act of faith. I don't suppose there's too many displays of faith in the Bible greater than this one. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 27. It says, "When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment." Why did she do this? Verse 28, "For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. This woman, in this display of faith, is one of the most incredible displays in all of the Bible. She operates under the assumption that if she can just get close enough to touch him, she'll be healed. She says, I don't need a conversation with him. I don't need for him to physically and personally lay his hands upon me. I don't even need for him to look in my direction. If I can just get close enough to touch his garment, I believe I'll be healed. Oh, what amazing, incredible faith this woman displays here in this passage of Scripture. As crazy as it sounds, she believes it and she acts upon her belief. I want you to notice not only we see her act of faith, but we find her healing. Look in verse 29, the Bible says, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." She believed, she acted, and she received. Can I tell you, there is healing power found in Jesus. Today, he will still heal people of the diseases of sin, of the disease of bitterness, hatred, foolish living, you name it, he can heal you today. I believe he can still heal of sickness as it relates to disease as well. I don't believe that I can personally go to someone and place my hands on them and then be whole, but I believe that I can go on behalf of them and I can intercede on their behalf and I can pray for them, and I believe that God can hear my prayer and that God can heal people of their illness. I'm praying, I know many of you are praying right now for folks in our church. We're praying regularly. I'm talking like every single day. And if you're not, I would encourage you to do so. Because listen, there is power in prayer. I know in some respects doctors have said, hey, listen, it's just time to give up. There's nothing that can be done. But I'm here to tell you something, that when the doctor says there's nothing else that can be done, there's a God in heaven that says, I can still work if people will call out to me. If people will cry out to me, I can still heal. I still have miracle working power. He still has that. Do you believe that, church? I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you're dealing with. Jesus can still heal. If this woman in this massive crowd could get close enough and reach out and touch the hem of his garment, and instantly she could be made whole, don't you think that you and I can fall down on our knees and we can reach into the heavenly portals and we can grab hold of the garment of Christ and we can pray and beg God and God can heal? He can. I do want you to know that that is not always God's plan. So there are times in which God chooses to allow people to suffer, and there are times in which that plan includes even death, for the Bible again tells us that the wages of sin is death. We all have to get there somehow or some way, and many times it's through disease, but I do believe that God can heal, and I'm praying that he will. Listen, the greatest healing that you and I could possibly experience is the healing of our souls. Amen. See, all of us have a sin problem. We've talked about that. Our souls and our lives are stained and marred by sin. But today Christ can step in and Christ can give you freedom from this disease that seeks to destroy your life called sin. Will you today exercise faith like this woman? And would you just reach out and touch him and find healing power in his touch, find freedom and hope in Jesus Christ? Notice thirdly, and we'll be finished this morning, notice whole people find peace in relationship with Christ. Number three, whole people find peace in relationship with Christ. Notice in verses 30 through 33, we find this woman's need for confession, her need for confession. Look what the Bible says, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth." We see her need for confession. Notice Jesus stopped everything that he was doing. Here was this crowd of people gathered all around him. Here was Jairus, who was desperate to get Jesus to his daughter as quickly as possible, and yet Jesus stopped. The Bible says that he looked around and he cried out, "Who touched me?" His disciples were blown away. Why would you ask such a question? Everyone's touching you. And Jesus said, no, this is different. The word there, virtue, had gone out of him. It speaks of the idea of healing power. He knew that someone had been made whole. By the way, not only did he know someone had been made whole, I believe he knew who it was that had been made whole. I believe he was trying to draw her out of the crowd. You see, in some respects, by coming privately, this woman had sort of stolen a blessing. And she had come privately. She had didn't let anybody know what was going on. She had gotten what she was there for, but in some respects, she had stolen this blessing. And I think that perhaps Jesus is thinking in his mind, and he knows how people think, and he's thinking, you know, if she goes home and goes on with her life, she's healed and it's gone for good. But what if she goes home and she thinks by stealing this blessing, maybe it's not going to last. Maybe it's just going to be here for a little bit of time. And Dr. John Phillips had written in his commentary on this passage of Scripture, and he said this. He said he did not want her, speaking of Jesus, to exchange a tormented body for a tormented mind. Therefore, he stopped what he was doing. He stopped where he was going, and he said, "Who touched me?" He's trying to get her to own what she has done, to admit to her problem and her issue. He knows what she's dealing with. He knows why she wants to be private about it. It's a personal matter. She's unclean. But he's trying to get her to a point of confession. He wanted this woman to come forward and acknowledge her need and what she had done. Listen to me. As you come into this church today, we pray that you come in and you leave here feeling good. I do. I pray that as you come, you think, leave saying, "Man, that was a good exercise of my time. I'm glad I went." Amen. But listen, I want so much more for you than just you leave feeling good, that you've been in church, that you've heard beautiful music and a positive message from God's Word. Listen, if that's all you leave here with, then we have failed. We want you to leave here whole. Amen. We want you to leave here complete, knowing that you have been delivered from whatever it is that is ailing you. For many, it's a sin problem. For others, you need encouragement. For others, you need someone to pray for you, to pray for your family. We want you to leave here feeling whole. Listen, the only way to leave here feeling whole is to find that in a relationship with Christ. You see, you'll come to church and you'll feel good for a time, but if you've not dealt with your sin problem, if you've never been saved, you're going to get to about Monday or Tuesday and you're going to find some of those same things are creeping back into your life. And you're going to find that just church on Sunday isn't going to cut it. But here's what you need to find. You need to find that Jesus Christ doesn't just dwell in church on Sunday with his believers. He goes with them every single day, every single moment. He is with them at all times. You need to find peace. And that's what this woman discovered this day. But notice, we see not only her need for confession, but we see her need for relationship. Look in verse 34. "And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I have 4 children, 3 daughters and 1 son." I don't know why this is, but I always refer to my daughters as by their name, something like that. For whatever reason, my son, oftentimes I'll say, "Son," and he knows when I say that, get your act together, right? My wife recently said, "Why do you call him that?" And I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. I've got to break that habit, apparently. I don't ever look at my daughters and say, "Daughter." I just don't do that. I don't think most people do. But we do that with our boys. "Son, get over here, you know, get your act together." Maybe it's because the young lady's a little bit more delicate. I'm not exactly sure. But listen, Jesus looked at this woman and he called her daughter. That's relationship, right? That's family. He could have called her by her name. The Bible doesn't tell us what her name is, but you can mark it down. Jesus knew what her name was. He could have called her by her name, but it would not have meant nearly as much as it did when he looked at her. He beheld her, and he called her daughter. "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." I submit to you that what she received in verse 34 is 100 times better than what she received in verse 29. You see, the fountain of her blood, it would be a problem and it'd be an issue for her for the rest of her life if it was never healed, but it would only last for another, we don't know how old she was, but every life is going to end at some point. But when Jesus looked at her and he called her daughter, relationship, salvation. When he looked at her and he said that, that would last for eternity. And while I wish desperately I could reach out and I could touch you and I could heal you, oh, what a marvelous thing that would be. I have something so much better for you than that. I can't give it to you. I can't force you to have it, but I can tell you about it. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you may be a good person, you may have done a lot of good things in your life, but if Jesus can't look at you and he can't call you daughter, or if he can't look at you and he can't call you son, then you're still in a world of trouble. But listen, you don't have to leave here that way. You can discover relationship with Jesus Christ even today, here on this holiday weekend, with lots of people gone and in different places. Jesus is still able to save. In just a moment, we're going to stand together and we're going to extend an invitation, and we're going to invite people who are distant, who are not a part of God's family, to discover relationship with Jesus. We're going to invite you to find yourself as a daughter or as a son. Perhaps there are others here today and you're saved, you're born again, but you are going through a difficult trial, a health need, or some other need in your family. I want you to know something. Jesus Christ has power over disease. And I'm going to invite you to come. Say, I'm saved already. You need to come and find your way to this altar and pray once again, dear God, would you save me? Would you save my daughter? Would you save my son from whatever it is that they're dealing with? Listen, God knows what he's doing. There's no doubt that he has brought us to Mark chapter 5 at this point in time so that we can discover together that Jesus Christ has power over disease. Would you bow your heads? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.